Let's go walk into the dawn. It's barely morning, but I can feel the break of day. Nothing safe can stay. And it's that West Virginia heat creeps in quiet. Then it knocks you off your feet till the rain comes cool and sweet. And I saw the sky fall down upon Old Briar Hill. Children left their games with no more. And the lights on the Minunga led them home. Let's go walk those empty roads. Can you hear them? And all those wagons rolling by. They took the reach out of the sky. Let's stop working for a day. Feel the sun again. Let the river wash us clean of all the cold dust, sweat, and dreams. And I saw the men one morning leave their memories. What's better left to miss it? You can never call home. When the lights on the Minunga lead you home. Can you point me to the west? The trains are quiet now. We're still waiting for our pay. Those who slipped along the way. Can you take me to my love? Lay beside me once. Now he sleeps beneath the ground, over where the mines fell down. And I saw the women mourning over by the burial grounds. They left their children hungry in those shanties all alone. When the lights on the Minunga led them home.
That is more beautiful than when you first recorded it.
Thank you.
Well, we welcome back after a long absence.
Yeah.
I can remember it was a very warm spring day,
right,
at the end of April.
Yeah.
2012 when you floated in here.
That's right.
With Sean Ernest.
And I floated because they were carrying me, weren't they? as my band members should.
Right, exactly. And Andrew Finn McGill.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So it is so good to have you back, Kyle Carey, to Profiles in Folk.
Lovely to be here. It's an honor.
And I asked Kyle to do that song because it made an absolute link with some of what I discussed last week on Father's Day and the Father's Day program, and how that particular event has many historians believe is the genesis for Father's Day. And I'll let you talk a little bit. That's your song that you wrote based on some poetry and the whole event of the West Virginia mining disaster.
Right. And, you know, I actually didn't know myself about the Father's Day link. But I first learned about the disaster when I was reading the poem of the same title by Louise McNeil, a wonderful West Virginia Appalachian poet. She's passed away, but she was a fantastic sort of voice for her community in the mountains of West Virginia. And so when I read the poem Monongah, I just thought it was beautiful. And then I read about the disaster, and I think about 340 men died. I mean, it was really awful. And many of them were recent immigrants. I know there were a lot of Italians that were working in the mines at that time. And so the poem sort of pays tribute to them and to the disaster. And so after reading it, I wrote the song, and I didn't take anything from the poem in terms of lines. But I did sort of try to recreate that voice, you know, that kind of old Appalachian sort of diction, because I'm not from that area myself. I'm a New Englander, so I have to borrow from other people. but a couple years later, I heard about the Father's Day link, and I thought, well, isn't that interesting? So
thank you for doing it.
Oh, my pleasure.
It's probably, you know, once you get on to your second album, you kind of, you know, put aside all that first album material.
I haven't played in a while, and I don't know why that is, because when I tour, I try to play songs from both the albums, and for some reason, Monongah hasn't made the cut these past couple years, which is unfortunate, you know, because it is, I do like the song, but I always worry about playing stuff that's too sad, too. I don't want to really completely bum people out, so.
Okay.
Well, but I mean, I love sad songs.
We're going to give our listeners just a quick sketch back that Kyle Carey, you may remember if you were listening, and a lot of our listeners listen every week. When she came in 2012, was her first album had been out, which is called Monongah, had been out for a year, and she was doing a lot of touring with those two guys in a beat up old car, as I remember.
Oh God, the Bernie Mobile, Sean's car.
But you have sort of, I think it was your father had coined the term Gaelic Americana,
as
you had mentioned. And it's this melding of Appalachian and Celtic music, and with the background that goes with a lot of it, since you went after your graduation from Skidmore in 2008, you had a Fulbright scholarship, then had done a lot of study, both in Nova Scotia and in Scotland, learn Scots Gaelic.
Yeah.
I remember how impressed I was, because, you know, when you're a folk music DJ and you come across, you know, all the Irish and Scots Gaelic that's on albums, and, you know, you don't have the foggiest idea how to pronounce it. Well, that was a tune from, whatever.
Yeah.
So that's where you were at that point. Now, 2 years later, you got a second album, an EP. You've been touring all over the world.
Yeah.
So what's happened in 2 years?
Gosh, well, I guess
In a nutshell.
In a nutshell, yeah. So since we met, I basically toured Monongah for about another year. Then I started planning the new album, North Star, and I did a Kickstarter for that in the fall of 2013, I think. So that was nerve-wracking, right. But it went well. And then, so that was the fall. And then in the winter, I went back to Scotland to record in Glasgow.
Okay.
Because my producer, Seamus Egan.
Yes, right. From Solus.
Uh-huh. Was living there at the time. And also he said, well, you know, if we record during Celtic Connections, the festival, you know, that's a kind of opportune time to grab other musicians.
And that is like one of the premier festivals.
Yes, which I played last year, actually, which was amazing. We did most of it there in about a week and a half, at least the backbone. Right. And I had my friends Josie and Clark and Ben Walker up from London, who I did that little EP with. And they're English folk duo who recently have done really well. Like, they won a BBC, you know, like Best Duo Award.
Right.
And they're great, great musicians. Ben's an amazing guitarist. Josiane's a beautiful vocalist. So they came up and sort of were with me for that week, laying down the bass of the album, right, being the vocals and guitar. And then after that, the album came out in the fall of 2014. And I've been touring that since. So I've brought that over to Europe twice, and I did Celtic Connections, and I've done some things in the States. And in the midst of all that, I realized that I had to start playing my own guitar.
Right.
Because I pretty quickly realized how unsustainable it was for me to always have a guitarist with me.
It's difficult.
It's really
hard. It's not
easy.
I mean, there's obviously more money to divide and more planning to do, and, you know, expenses on the road or more as well. So you're pretty much touring by yourself now.
Well, yes and no. When I go to Europe, I'm really lucky. I've got a friend who is a mandolin player and very supportive. So he'll play mandolin, and then I have a couple like rotating fiddlers over there, and they're all awesome. So there's a girl from Belgium named Nikki Verlinden that toured with me, a woman named Amy Merrill. She's American but lives in Belgium.
Okay.
And she's great. So for the past two tours, I've had a trio, which has been really cool.
Oh, terrific.
And then over here, I've done some solo stuff, and I've also done some duo stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly these days, if I can manage to do solo, I'll just go that route because it's a lot easier.
Right.
But then at Celtic Connections, I had a multi-instrumentalist with me. And then my friend Gilabrija, who I shared the concert with, he had a full band. So I got to play with them, and that was really cool.
That is a treat.
It's like, oh, I can get used to this. Maybe someday.
you just finished a fairly arduous tour in Europe, 2 months long with a lot of dates. I was, you know, my eyes sort of popped out I saw your schedule. I said, boy, she's just doing a lot of dates. What's the feeling? I mean, is there like a difference audience-wise between America and Europe?
Yes.
When you're doing your particular type of music? I mean, a lot of the compositions are original, although I've noticed from some of the YouTube videos that you're doing a little more traditional stuff too, traditional songs occasionally. But is there a difference in audiences in the way they, you know, see you as a performer?
I think so. I think, there's the language barrier. Although in Holland, most people speak English and they're really fluent. Germany, I find, is either hit or miss.
Right.
Sometimes I'll get audiences where a lot of people speak English, sometimes barely any. Belgium is much like Holland in that most people speak English. And even that aside, I find the audiences to generally be a bit more reserved. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I'll be playing and I'll think, oh my God, I have no idea how this is going over, you know, I mean, but then they'll come up at the break and they'll be so enthusiastic and I'm like, okay, thank God, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So it's a little bit harder to read the audiences there, because they're just not as expressive as American audiences. Yeah. And then the same goes for English audiences. They're very reserved.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well,
you know, again, I'll kind
of... The stereotype of the English. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's true, yeah. It is. They don't even have the excuse of the language barrier.
I've been to a few folk clubs in England, right?
Yeah.
And they are incredibly reserved.
Yeah, it's funny.
It's unique. And one club I was in London, I was like totally amazed how many performers were in the audience.
Oh, yeah.
And they were unbelievably reserved as well, even when the performers on stage asked if any of them wanted to join them. It was kind of fascinating to me. In America, there'd be people leaping up on stage.
Yeah.
To join in, but
was that at the Green Note by any chance that you were at?
No, it was in London. It's the Walthamstow Folk Club.
They were in
a pub in not quite one of the better sections of London, let's say.
Okay.
But it was a great pub and it was a great room. It was a great room to be in, I think, both for audience and for performers.
Oh, nice. Yeah. It's a unique scene over there. Yeah. The folk clubs are really their own thing.
So, would you like to do another song for us?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Before we chat some more. Otherwise, we'll chat away the whole show.
I know, it's easy to do. Very easily done.
I think between you and I, yes.
Oh, yes. Makes my job easier, though, so that's all right. I'll play Orange Blossom, which is off the first CD, and it's a song that's inspired by a very well-known American fiddle tune called the Orange Blossom Special.
Mm-hmm.
And many folks don't know that the Orange Blossom Special was a real train that once ran from New York to Florida. So people would get on it in Florida in the winter, and they would take it down they'd get on it in New York, take it down to Florida. And they'd go from wintry New York to sunny Florida, where the sun would be showering down on them and the orange trees would be blooming.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the train line got its nickname. And so the fiddle tune impersonates the sound of the Orange Blossom Special. And I wrote this song about a woman originally from the South who moves up north and finds herself in a kind of difficult situation. So the train becomes a kind of allegory for her, mm-hmm. returning to the warmer days of her youth. I play at a lot of libraries, and I like to use words like allegory in my stage banter as much as possible. Usually goes over well.
You English majors.
I know. So this is Orange Blossom. Stay too long up here. Seems I've lost the will to walk back home. Northern winters last so long, they're even longer when you sleep alone. Telegram came late today, seemed to call me back Kentucky way. And I would leave, but when I tried, guiding stars fall straight out of the sky. Mom always told me twice, love a man with all you might. When it's timed up and go, we'll wait till the orange blossom blow. The orange blossom blow. I was never one to fuss. Grief weighs heavy on me like a stone. Man I love's gone at night, and then he brings his rage into our home. And I was young and pretty once, now the years lurched across my face. And I was free and hopeful once, till the day I parted on my face. Mom always told me twice, love a man with all you might. When it's timed up and go, waiting, the orange blossom blow. The orange blossom.
Sometimes love won't do the trick. And I remember who you were to me. The whiskey made you sick. And I can't stick around. See another winter coming dark and strong. Yellow fields and open skies. Seems I've been away from home too long. Mom always told me twice, love a man with all he might. When it's time to up and go, wait till you. The orange blossom blow. The orange blossom blow. Mom always told me twice, love a man with all you might. When it's time to up and go, wait till the orange blossom blow. The orange blossom blow.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
You know, it's funny, doing more solo work, and you already alluded to, well, I've got to play a lot more guitar.
Yeah.
And I recall, I think when you came in 2 years ago, you weren't playing much guitar at that point. Sean was doing all the guitar work.
Right.
So in the 2 years, and I mean, you've done a lot of touring, a lot of work on albums. How do you think your artistry has matured?
Oh, that's a great
question. I mean, you're young still, so you got a lot of years to go.
That's nice to hear.
But, you know, when you put yourself so, you know, you immerse yourself so much into it, obviously there's some maturity there.
Yes.
What have you learned over the 2 years?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, it's funny because sometimes I don't consciously think I'm evolving. But then if I look back on a video of me performing, even just a couple of years ago, I think, oh my gosh, you know,
who is that person?
Feeling isn't always good. so, you know, I think, you know, vocally I've definitely gotten stronger. And just, you know, with the guitar, I started playing when I was 16 and, you know, it wasn't ever something I was very, very dedicated with. I was pretty dedicated, but when the gears started turning for me to do this professionally, I felt like I didn't have the chops to do it myself on guitar. So that's why for the first couple of years I toured with a guitarist, and I really wasn't playing much of any guitar at all.
Right.
None really on stage. You know, sometimes I still used it to write, but then I toured with a friend whose music you might have heard, named Craig Worth. He's a really lovely singer-songwriter from New Hampshire. He toured with about David Francie for about 5 years.
Right.
And he was the first person I worked with that actually actively encouraged me to play guitar again.
Okay.
And so that really helped push me back into it. And so I started with just playing a few songs, and then that went from playing most songs to now being able to do the whole show. And that's been really good for me, and just really good for my confidence, because when I wasn't doing it myself, there was always a feeling of vulnerability in my career. And I'm really glad I don't have that anymore.
Good.
And even listening to Mononga, listening to North Star, I personally can hear a big improvement. I mean, you know, on both albums, I had great musicians backing me up, so that's kind of a non-issue. But just vocally, I feel like there's a big difference. And part of that is just the fact that Seamus Egan really pushed me.
Good.
I mean, he's had so many years of experience as a producer, and he was just really great at capturing everyone's best performance. So he definitely really pushed me as a vocalist and you know, wouldn't give up until we had it just right.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a great experience, like just being challenged like that was cool. And he knew how to just find the perfect keys for my register. Which it's, you know, a bit embarrassing that sometimes I don't even know what that is. But I mean, he is a genius, so he should know how to do these things. That's what I called him for. So.
Okay, well, let us let the listeners know who they're listening to. Our guest tonight on Profiles in Folk is Kyle Carey. And she does music, as you probably gather, that is kind of a meld between Appalachian and Celtic music. She's got a lot of deep roots, including, you know, you mentioned your voice has gotten better, but you studied with Christine Primrose, who's one of the great Scottish traditionalists.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that really lent, even at, you know, on your first album, a lot of very nuanced phrasings in your vocal work and such. Do you still look back on that as a great help?
I do.
Your career?
Yeah. I mean, Christine, I always try to consciously mention her at every show because I feel like she gave me a really great gift in teaching me and introducing me to the techniques of Gaelic song.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just always really supportive, and we had a really kind of special connection, which I still value very much. So, I mean, I never had much of any kind of real classical vocal training.
Okay.
It was always a folk approach.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why she was a great teacher for me. And and, you know, one of the things that she taught me was in Gaelic song, you're supposed to let the story tell itself. So you actually don't emote very much with your voice. And that was a bit challenging for me at first, because in our traditions, we tend to really, emote strongly with our voice. And I feel like I can really hear that on Mananga. I feel like the vocal is very clear and it's very pure in many ways. And the stories are just telling themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. And North Star's a little bit different. I kind of did more acrobatics as a vocalist
for definitely.
That CD.
Definitely.
And I like that too, you know. But yeah, I can much more hear that influence in the first album, and I'll always keep that with me and really, really treasure that
mm-hmm.
a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So
now let me ask this in terms of, you know, the contemporary versus the traditional.
Mm.
Do you find yourself going back a little more and looking at traditional music, especially Celtic music, than maybe you did when you first started out?
I mean, it's still, it definitely still very much informs a lot of my own writing. So, for example, in my next CD, I'm going to be recording a song that is sort of, I took the ballad Farewell to Tarwathe, and I sort of smushed it together with a really beautiful Irish traditional song called Shularoon. It's also mm-hmm. called Buttermilk Hill in some versions, the Appalachian version. So I kind of took like those two traditional songs and I sort of like put them together and made a different sort of thing. And then of course I'm always still sourcing Gaelic songs and ones that I think, oh, that would be nice to record. And actually part of what I'm going to be doing this summer is going back to Skye for a full month to, immerse myself in the, what's the term for a place where they house a lot of recordings? I'm having such a, it's not a library, but archives.
Archives.
There's archives at the Gaelic College. I'm
mm-hmm.
gonna do some digging around there to find some songs that haven't been recorded yet.
Great.
So yeah, it's still very much a big part of what I'm doing is kind of looking back on the traditional stuff and reworking it in new ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, your music is unique in that way. There are not a lot of people who do it, and I'm wondering, What are the roots of it? Was it something that started in college, or did it start before that?
Oh gosh. Well, I mean, I had a really kind of unusual childhood in that, like, my family lived in Alaska when I was really young.
That's a little unusual. Yeah. For a New Englander.
Yeah. And not only Alaska, but I mean, we were in the bush with Yupik communities.
Okay.
We were living in places where roads didn't go and everyone spoke Yupik and wore parkas and mucklucks and, ate seal meat. And so I think, you know, growing up in a very sort of close to nature environment like that probably shaped me quite a bit. And then when I was 7, we moved to New Hampshire and I spent the rest of my childhood there. But my dad loves folk music. And so I always heard it as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't until college that I kind of came back to it fully. And then that was working at Cafe Lena.
Yes,
that really
We should put that in.
She
did, during college, worked at the historic Cafe Lena,
mm-hmm.
which is probably a great education.
It was. That's where I like to say I really got my education.
Don't tell Skidmore that.
I know. That's all right. I'm still paying off my loans to them, though, so I don't feel that bad about it.
Yeah. was there a lot of singing in your family? You said your dad liked folk music a lot?
Yeah. I mean, my dad says that I started singing around the same time I started talking. And then my mom sang casually, and my dad actually plays guitar and sings. But in terms of anyone in my family really doing it at a professional level, not so much.
Right.
Apparently my grandmother had a really, really beautiful voice, which I never heard.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have the genes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You've just have
such a rich, beautiful voice too.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I don't even remember learning how to sing, you know, like it just was always there.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel right. Really lucky in that sense that it came easily to me.
Okay. Now I've got another request.
This is probably,
I know you probably came into this whole interview with deciding what you were going to do. Can you do a piece? And if you can't, just say no. We'll move on.
Okay, maybe we'll edit it.
A piece in Gaelic?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I'd love to. I was worried. The only thing I was worried you'd ask me to do is double at your back, because I play that on the ukulele.
Yeah, right.
And I don't have the
You don't have your uke with you, yes.
So anything else, though, I can pretty much do. And yes, I would love that. I could sing you She Is Gunnin Owing, which is Down to the River, and it's on North Star.
Oh, wow.
And your listeners would be, what were you going to say?
Well, they've heard it a few times,
so they may be
familiar if
good.
They can remember, because it's such a unique piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and if they've seen the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, they'll recognize the melody, because it's a traditional American psalm. And so there's the scene in the movie where everyone's going down to the river to be baptized and Alison Krauss is singing. And I was so excited when I found the translation of this in Gaelic, because I thought, oh my gosh, that's perfect for what I do with my music, you know, show the relationship. So traditional American psalm in Gaelic. So it was translated by a woman named Kiana Campbell. And she's mother of Marianne Kennedy, who's quite a well-known Scottish harp player and vocalist. And and so it's basically just a verbatim word for word translation of the psalm.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go ahead and give it a bash. So this is She Is Gunnin Owing, or Down to the River. Oh, you know what? I'm gonna give myself a C too, just to make sure I start in the right key. Nor kai me she is gunnin owin an jay, gornies a folum focal ye is co, and they suscrin an shade fig ye stood me not him. Oh, fdodin, rakamid she is, akamid she is. Oh, fdodin, rakamid she is, gornies and now in the hill. Nor kai me she is gunnin' now in unjay. Gornies a folum folk o ye skoyev. Triskin's grin in shade fig ye stood me not here. Oh, fatty in Dragomichius, Dragomichius, Achomichius. Oh, fatty in Dragomichius, Gornies now in the hill. Nor kai me she is gone and now in and jay. Gornies a folum folk o ye is co. And they is grin and shade fig ye stood me not him. Oh, agrihin, dragomichius, dragomichius, achomichius. Oh, agrihin, dragomichius, gornies now in the hill. Nor kai me she is gonna now in and jay. Gornies a folum folk o ye skoyev. And triskin's grin and shade fig ye stood me not him. Vogrigan, Dragomichius, Dragomichius, Nakchik Shiv, she is. Vogrigan, Dragomichius, Gornies now in the hill. Nor kai me she is gone and now in and jay. Gornies a folum folk o ye is co. And they is grin and shade fig ye stood me not him. Oh, fakey, Dragomichius, Dragomichius, Nakchik Shiv, she is. Oh, fakey, Dragomichius, Gornies now in the hill. Nor kai me she is gonna now in and jay. Gornies a folum folk o ye skoyev. Driskin's grin and shade fig ye stood me not him.
Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
I'm glad you did it. Do you find yourself singing more a cappella?
Well, yeah. I mean, when I do a solo show, and even when I don't, I usually do at least one per set. Mm-hmm. And then I have also an encore of a really lovely Gaelic lullaby that I do a cappella sometimes too. Oh, and then, well, depending on whether or not I have someone with me, when I do Girlish a Girly, I'll either do that a cappella or with guitar, but mm-hmm. I get the audience singing on the chorus for that They love that.
Okay. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to move quickly. Well, let's play a cut from your album that's gospel inspired as
perfect.
Well.
Yeah.
And that'll be Let Them Be All.
Reprise. Yeah.
Nice do you want to give an intro to it?
Sure. Yeah. This song is another one that I wrote, and it was a sort of a something I tried to do with emulating the American gospel tradition.
Mm-hmm.
But it does have a little bit of a Celtic influence lyrically. And on this track, you've got Ben Walker on guitar, and then Natalie Haas is playing the cello. Mm. And a really wonderful Boston-based fiddler named Katie McNally is playing the fiddle.
She's wonderful.
Yeah, she is great. Yeah. And then we've got Chico Huff, who sometimes guests with Solas on bass, and he lives in Philadelphia.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay, this is from Kyle Carey's second full-length album. It's called Let Them Be All Reprise, and the title of the album is North Star. Kyle Carey from her latest full-length album, as we said, North Star. And she has got two albums out. One is her initial debut album was Monanga, and you heard the title cut up front on her appearance here today. And then she has a small EP out of four songs called One Morning in May with a beautiful little drawing on it, too. I know. Who did the drawing on the cover?
That was actually an artist in London that that Josiane and Ben have worked with in the past. And they basically put the EP. I just kind of went into the studio and did the vocals, and then they kind of took care of the rest.
Took care of the rest, yeah. That's a nice way to make a CD,
I know.
Right?
I was like, I could get used to this. But yeah, it was a fun project to do with them. Different from anything else I've done, which was which was interesting.
And our guest again is Kyle Carey. This is her second time here at WSHU Public Radio, and it's been really good to have you back. It's been a long time, though. 2 years is a long time.
Yeah, well, I won't let that much time pass again.
And this is, you know, this is sort of ironic, but I always try and get performers in here before they do a show.
Oh, yeah.
And because of the way our schedules have been both times, you've been here and we've been taping something that is going to air after you've done a show.
Which is fine.
So I do want to let listeners know that if Kyle did do the Katharine Hepburn Performing Arts Center, the Kate, last night.
That's right. And it went fabulously.
This is good rehearsal.
Yes, this is perfect.
I always look at it that way as well. It's a rehearsal for the performance.
Right.
But
exactly.
You've played the Kate before.
Actually,
or
no.
Haven't. Oh, you
no.
haven't. Oh, it's a wonderful small theater.
Yeah, yeah. It looks beautiful.
It's a great acoustic, so it's
cool.
Good.
I'm excited. Yeah. And they book some big names. I mean,
oh,
I
they
think
do, yes.
Right. Last week they had Judy Collins and Iris DeMent, and I saw that Dar Williams was there. And it's a place I've always wanted to play, but it's hard to get into. And then the way it worked out is that a really lovely fan of mine kind of did the legwork for me.
Okay.
And talked to the director. And
oh, that's marvelous.
Yeah, it was really nice. So he reached out to us, actually, to set up the show. So it's really nice when that happens.
Good. Well, hopefully we'll see you back at the Kate again.
Yeah.
And,
maybe
next time we'll be able to... Yeah. to you know, air the interview before you do the Kate.
Oh, my gosh. Something to work towards, yeah.
As I recall, in 2012, you were doing, you had already done a house concert at an old friend of mine,
yes,
Sheldon Campbell's.
Sheldon, right.
And you were going to be doing the Outer Space.
Yes.
And you had done it after the interview aired, before the interview aired.
Oh, right. So, and then did the show air after our performance at the Outer Space?
Yes, right.
Right, okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I already know for a fact that there are going to be more people in the audience in the Kate tomorrow night than at the Outer Space.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Because half my family and my Connecticut family is going to be there.
Terrific.
Yeah. Okay. So that'll be good.
Okay, so you're going to be working on a third album.
Yeah, right.
And where's it going to take us? Because the first two albums have really taken us in many, many directions, which I find very refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're sort of, you know, I kind of look at it, you're too young to remember Downbeat magazine, the jazz magazine, but they always, in jazz, there were like constant reissues, and they always used to refer to their reviews of reissues as old wine, new bottles.
Oh,
and I always think
that.
Of you as kind of new wine, old bottles.
Oh, cool!
In terms of the forms you're using, so I'm intrigued as to where the next album is going to go. Have you thought much about it?
Well, I have. Yeah, because it's not very far away, which is kind of terrifying yet exciting. So I have a title. It's going to be called The Art of Forgetting.
Okay.
And it's going to be produced by Dirk Powell.
Ah,
so
okay.
I'm excited to
still
work with him.
Still yet another twist.
I know, another twist. Yeah. And so it's going to be recorded in Louisiana.
Uh-huh.
That's where his studio is.
Right.
And that's basically, as far, it's half written, and what I have so far is similar. I mean, there will be at least two Gaelic songs. I'm pretty much decided that I want to do a cover of Trouble in the Fields, Nancy Griffith's Trouble in the Fields.
Right. Was she influential or an
influence
to you?
Yeah, she has been, very much so.
Yeah.
And I just love her songwriting.
Yeah,
and I love that song. So I think that will be on it. And And then I have my three originals, bringing it up to six. So I need to write at least five more songs.
Okay.
But the originals are very much in the vein of how I write. One of them is a love song, but it's also heavily influenced by a child ballad.
Okay.
And then another one is the mix of Shularoon and Farewell to Tarwathe. And then the third one, which is the title track, The Art of Forgetting, is another love song. But it, again, it's very kind of seasonal. Uses a lot mm-hmm. of imagery from the summer and the fall.
Okay.
And so, yeah, and that's similar to my writing in the past two albums as well. But, in every CD I know I'm going to have to do something a little bit different to keep it interesting, mm-hmm. even though I feel like I've found my niche and I want to stay true to my sound.
Yes, right.
So it's finding that balance is the challenge of keeping it innovative, but then at the same time keeping it true to your own unique sound.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I think I'll be able to do that. And with someone like Dirk, turning the knobs.
Exactly.
He's so talented. So
that's good. You've had three really fine producers.
I know. I know. I'll have to have a party with them all someday. Yeah, musical producers.
Right.
And they're all men, too,
Yeah, that's true.
They're all like attractive 40-something men. I don't know what that's all about. This must be subconscious.
Right. Okay, I want to squeeze a little more music. We have about 10 minutes left.
Oh, perfect.
And,
great.
I do want to squeeze a little more music. Are you at a point where you're prepared to do that cover?
Oh, to do Trouble in the Fields.
I am throwing you curves, aren't I?
Oh, man. No, that's a great curve. I'm so slightly embarrassed to say I haven't learned it yet.
Okay.
I mean,
then you don't have to do it.
With that song, it's going to be, as to whether I'll even play that on guitar.
Okay.
Is going to be a question. Because you remember I covered Across the Great Divide.
Yes, right. Kate Wolf's piece, right?
Which I love that song.
Oh, that was one of the great songs. And that, it fits into your mold, however, though.
Yeah.
It's a contemporary piece that mm-hmm. really sounds pretty traditional.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people actually think it's a traditional song.
Oh, do they? I could see that.
I've heard people remark on it. Oh, that's an old traditional song. Oh, no. Kate Wolf wrote it.
Yeah. Oh, I grew up on that song. I mean, I've sung that with my dad for years, and
mm-hmm.
We tried to give it a bit of a sort of British Isles treatment because Ben Walker is playing guitar on it,
right.
and Chris Stout from the Orkney
Islands
is on the fiddle for that, and then Josie Ann's doing the harmonies, and she's English, so she's doing this kind of high Emmy Lou harmony,
right.
But you can still hear like a little bit of a British accent. But yeah, I just got to sing for that song, which was really fun.
Right.
And that might happen again for Trouble in the Fields. I don't know. So there's so much that's undecided.
Do you do the Kate Wolf piece in your sets now?
I do when I have a guitarist with me.
Okay.
But that's something I'm going to remedy because I used to play it on guitar and then I just was like, I'm just going to sing it because that's more fun. But yeah, it's not a hard song to play.
Yeah, right.
So
right.
I have no excuse. And of course, it's always inevitably people want to hear that song when I'm playing solo.
Okay.
So luckily, the show's tomorrow night, so I still have a night to learn it.
Can we squeeze maybe two songs out of you before you leave?
Yeah, definitely.
If I feel like I'm throwing you out of here or something.
No. That sounds like a good plan.
Especially when we're taping.
Yes. Yeah. No, we've got time. So what I'll do is I'll play you Virginia first, which is off Monongah again, but it's a song written from a male perspective, and it's I told it from the viewpoint of a young boy growing up in Raleigh, North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
and he's starting to notice women for the first time, and the lady that happens to catch his eye is his nanny. Her name is Virginia, and mm-hmm. she's a bit of a heartbreaker, so this is their story.
Thank you.
She got off the morning bus, farthest stop from home. A stack of letters in a carpet bag was all she called her own. She came knocking on our front door as the storm began. That summer I was still a boy, I dreamed of loving like a man. Memory haunts me, and I just can't shake free. It's summer in Raleigh and Virginia's, walking through my dreams. She wore dresses on the hotter days, pulled her long hair back, sang out loud to the radio. Threw her head back when she left. She had the keys to heaven, tied up in her apron strings. The rain soaked that cotton through, I could hear the angels sing. Her memory haunts me, and I just can't shake free. It's summer in and Virginia's, walking through my dreams. Thunderstorms in August, firefly in a jar. She gave it to me on my birthday and said she caught a shooting star. That summer I was old enough to walk to town alone. She left a letter on the kitchen table saying, "Find me when you grow." Memory haunts me, and I just can't shake free. It's summer in Raleigh, Virginia's, walking through my dreams. Memory haunts me, and I just can't shake free. It's summer in Virginia's, singing me to sleep.
Nice piece of songwriting.
Thank you.
Well, it has been a delight having you back.
Thank you, Steve.
Don't stay away for so long.
I won't. I won't. I promise. I'm gonna start touring my own country again.
Yeah. Well, that's a part of it. You spend a lot of time on the other side of the pond, basically.
Yeah.
Which is good. Which is good.
You know,
it's a nice way to split up things.
Yeah.
You have roots in both places.
I do. So. I do. And now, you know, of course, my boyfriend lives over there, who, believe it or not, is an Italian who is fluent in Scottish Gaelic. So he lives on Skye.
Okay.
So I'll be going over there even more often.
Right. Exactly. Oh, funny. Oh, but it has been a delight having you back here and to be able to showcase your talent and that rich, rich voice that you have.
Oh, thank you, Steve.
Really good. So, You want to finish off with one? Let's give the listeners a,
Definitely. And I was thinking I'd finish off with something happy because it's summer.
Okay, very good.
It's nice to end on a positive note.
Okay, and our guest tonight on Profiles in Focus has been Kyle Carey. And you can reach her at her webpage, kyleannecarey.com. Although these days you don't even have to give out web addresses. All they have to do is punch in your name and you're right up there.
In Google.
And it's K-Y-L-E, if you're not familiar with her, C-A-R-E-Y. And she has two albums out, two full-length albums called Mananga, which came out in 2011, and North Star in 2014. Look for her newest album in 2017. And she also has an EP that is out called One Morning in May as well. And she had a wonderful concert last night at the Kate down in Old Saybrook. So, but look for her. Just a delightful personality as well as a really fine songwriter. And a good player, too. Your guitar has come along nicely. It has been wonderful having you back.
Thank you, Steve.
What are you going to finish off with?
Well, I'll finish off with a song called June Day. And just, by the way, thank you for being so conscientious with all your facts. He's, like, so accurate. I'm really impressed. So this is from North Star, and it's the track that actually starts the album, because it's June, and it'll still be June when this airs.
Yes, right. Yeah.
And so I wrote this about just many of your listeners will be familiar with the excitement of springtime in New England because we wait so long for it to come.
Yes, right.
And
right.
In New Hampshire, and I'm sure here in Connecticut, we harvest the maple syrup.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of imagery from that, and then the song moves into the summertime, into June, which is what we're enjoying right now.
Which is a nice time.
Yeah. Very nice time. Yeah. So this is June Day. Looks like I've done it again. Take twice what's mine. Sleeping through the winter, waiting for the sun to shine. We'll gather up the sugar in buckets to waste a drop. You're filling up my heart, spilling o'er the top. And I'll lay down on morning ether, summer sun. Air as thick as honeydew, the light leaves and evening comes. Sit here beside me, darling, on this hot June day. I tumble in the summer grasses, sweeter than the autumn hay. Looks like I've done it again, lost my head. Listening to the rush of rain until the dust stains the skyline red. Oh, giving it another minute till the stars burn bright. Like candles on the road that lead me home to you for one more night. And I'll lay down all morning beneath the summer sun. Air as thick as honeydew, light leaves and evening comes. Sit here beside me, darling, on this hot June day. I tumble in the summer grasses, sweeter than the autumn hay. feels like I'm nearing trouble, but I can't turn back. The promise of a tire swing's got me crossing all the tracks. Let the day and all its glory pass without a care. Underneath an apple tree where the air's too sweet to share. And I'll lay down all morning in the summer sun. And air is thick as honey till the light leaves and evening comes. Sit here beside me, darling, on this hot June day. Tumble in the summer grasses, sweeter than the autumn hay. Sit here beside me, darling, on this hot June day. I tumble in the summer grasses, sweeter than the autumn hay.